Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, the hadith is talking about the right of a neighbor. And what is the ruling? Is it a must for me to have or to accept my neighbor to come and put his peg in my wall, maybe breaking the wall? Scholars say no. If it includes any harm on your wall or on your house, this is not permissible. You have all the right to refuse. But if it doesn't harm my wall, they say there is another condition, that there is benefit for your neighbor. But if my neighbor is not benefiting out of it, but he just wants to do it, there's no reason for doing it, he just wants to do it, then again, I'm not forced or even recommended to accept. The third thing is, if there is benefit for him and it doesn't harm my wall or my house, am I obliged to allow him? The three schools of thought, the majority say, no, I am not obliged. Okay, so this is what the hadith tells us in regard of how to allow and to assist our neighbors in whatever is good for them and would not bring any harm to us. So we open the floor for questions.
Sheikh, when we allow our neighbor to fix a wooden peg in our wall, if we believe that in future, if we want to alter our homes, and if we break the wall, the house of the neighbor would also get altered and there will be a problem for them. And in future, there might be a situation that this neighbor can claim this wall is mine. So in this situation, can we allow the neighbor to fix a wooden peg in our house?
These are all hypothetical. First of all, if the peg is in your wall, it's not going to be there forever. It is for a purpose for him to make his wall higher or to build a ceiling, and then he would not utilize this. If you want to break the wall, which is yours, you have all the right to do this. Clear it with him and tell him, move your stuff, I'm going to remove my wall, for example. But if the wall is shared between both of you, so you cannot break it without his permission, because it's in your land and in his land. Secondly, the idea of him claiming that the wall is his is not possible, because you have documentation, you have witnesses. No one can come and say, wallahi, 100 years passed and now it has been transformed into my ownership. This cannot happen. So best not to put hypothetical situations that would hinder you and prevent you from doing something that the Prophet ﷺ instructed you to do. Yes, sir.
With regards to Shufa, Sheikh, is there a hadith which also says that if the neighbor asks to buy your property, even if he offers you a lesser price, then yet he gets the first opportunity?
I do not know any such a hadith, and this is not applicable to my knowledge, because it is not lawful for my neighbor to take my property or my wealth without my approval. So the only possible way is when I'm selling my property, he can intervene and ask and request and demand the shufa by giving the man exactly as much as he paid. Nowhere, to my recollection, that there is a hadith that is authentic if in asking him to reduce the price, because this would be harmful for me. And the rule in Islam, one of the fiqhi rules, we have usul al-fiqh and we have al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. One of the fiqhi rules are the hadith, or is the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, la darara wala dirar. What does that mean? It means, roughly translated, to there is no intentional or unintentional harm acceptable. So one would say, akhi, I need to put my peg in his wall. Okay, la darar. But if your peg is gonna break my wall or break my house, then there is dirar on me, there is harm on me. So because I would uplift the harm from you, this does not mean that I implement it on myself. And likewise, the right of shufa, because you are my neighbor and I'm moving out, I'm selling, there would be harm if I get 100,000 and you tell me, no, pay me 80. there would be harm on me, and this is not acceptable in Islam, and Allah knows best. Yes, akhi.
I came across a hadith which said, when you're selling a house, the first right of opportunity should be given to your neighbor, number one. And one more thing, like if you construe more from this hadith, we can see there's a duty of the neighbor also. Like in terms of now we see in Mumbai, a lot of towers are coming up. The neighbors are going into, you know, the renovation in such a way that, you know, it affects the neighbor. So is it showing that the neighbor should have limitation of, you know, whatever he does in terms of repair? That also has been shown in this as a duty of the neighbor in, you know, doing the repair work to a limited extent that the neighbor's rights are not disturbed.
Again, la darar wa la dirar. If you're renovating your house, you're allowed to do whatever you wish, providing that you do not harm your neighbor. And the scholars usually give an example of the neighbor raising the building. In previous generations, in the old times, they had only one level, maximum 1.5 level, not 8 or 10 or 20 stories high. So there would say that if we have two houses, this means that my family can go on the rooftop and they can put their laundry and they can do whatever. They don't have to cover. If you raise your house so that you overlook, this is harm on me. And that is why it is part of the things that a neighbor should avoid. Nowadays, this is not applicable because all high risers are there. So it depends. There is no harm, intentional or unintentional. And Allah knows best.
Sheikh, I want to know, to what extent is this shufa enforceable? Is it mandatory or is it a code of good practice? Because nowadays, you know, if you take Bombay, the neighbors sell off the house and, you know, we are not even aware. One fine morning we open and we find there is a new man already in. You know, because this is all done in very secrecy.
Okay, again, this is when Islamic law is implemented. In non-Muslim countries, you cannot force anyone to do anything for you. So in an ideal Islamic country, when the law is implemented, this can be forced, as stated, providing the conditions that the Prophet ﷺ had set, which are that the property is undivided. We are unable to divide it. So only when the partner wants to sell his portion in a property that is undivided, that the other partner has the right of shufa. But if they are partners in two houses, we buy and sell real estates. So we live in two separate houses. And my neighbor, my partner, wants to sell his portion, which is the house that he lives in. Although we are partners, this is his right because the roads are defined and the borders are clear. So this is his portion and this is my portion. In this case, he does not have the right for shufa. And likewise in the neighbor, if my neighbor lives in the fifth floor and I live on the ground floor and he wants to sell, I have no right in saying, no, I will buy it by force, because there are no things that are considered to be joined, and Allah knows best. Yes, akhi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I have a question that if two people have a share in a land, 50-50, and one of the person dies, and he has no heir, so what should be done about that land?
So the brother is asking, if two partners, one of them dies, and he does not have anyone to inherit him. This is hypothetical again, but it's possible that one has no offspring, no wives, no relatives, is, you know, cut from a tree, as we say in Arabic. So what is to be done? The answer would be that his money goes to the treasury, the Baytul Mal, the Muslim's treasury. It goes to him and it doesn't go to the partner. So the partner is not, oh, happy, my partner has died, I'll take the whole thing. No. If he doesn't have any lawful heir to inherit, then his wealth goes to the treasury of the Muslims. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.